Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Well, the Fighting Irish may not have played this weekend, but all of the loyal Notre Dame fans are still celebrating because the one and only Mike Golic Jr. has his birthday today. Happy birthday, Junior, and continue broadcasting and living like a champion.
There we go. It wouldn't be a day that ends in Y if Notre Dame wasn't mentioned in my
there
name
go,
on this show. Thank you to the great Hannah Storm there for the shout-out. It's Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Igwumike here. Yes, 31 years young today, and Chinne has pulled out all the stops. You have outdone nearly everyone that's ever come in contact with me here at work, because normally, Chinne, I am trying to fly as low under the radar as possible. So job well done.
If you guys know me, you know I'm extra, okay? I don't do the most, but I am extra when it comes to people I care about. So you deserve all of this.
I appreciate it. Feeling the love today. There is plenty of extra in the hallway in the form of guac, and it doesn't cost extra today. And that is all thanks to Chinne and her heroism on this one. So, well, apparently there's more of those coming, so I'm going to just strap in and get ready for that one. But we are going to also get ready, Chinne, for the NBA Finals, because we were talking in the pre-show today, and we had to remind you, like, this starts Wednesday. Like, there's no break here. There's no travel time. It is get ready and get going. And for a Lakers and Heat matchup that has a ton of juice to it, I know we're both ready to rock on this one.
Yeah, I had a Jamal Murray moment. So I was like, wait, in 48 hours, that's when it's happening? I was like, no, we usually have, like, a couple days, like, at least 3 or 4. No, it's here, and it's now. Lakers, Heat, it's going to be great. And what I like about this matchup are certain areas of the court. There's the paint. There's also the perimeter. There are a lot of different aspects and avenues that the Heat can use and target to try to compete, but still the Lakers have more top-tier talent.
And I think that's kind of everyone's first look at this. And we said this once the Clippers got bounced from the playoffs. We knew the Heat had already done away with the Bucks, and we said, man, LeBron James' road to a championship has never been clearer than it appears right now. But you brought up a name in the pre-show today, and it's one that – I remember his interview, he was on the Jump Set during NBA All-Star Weekend. They were talking to Bam Adebayo, who is really the poster child for a lot of this Heat culture talk in a lot of ways. The Lakers have made their living with a lot of the bigs, Anthony Davis and the company in the middle there. How does Bam kind of throw a wrench potentially into what the Lakers are going to try and do here?
So a couple years ago when he got drafted, I was working the draft in New York, and I remember he came and sat at my station. I was interviewing him, and he just had like a quiet confidence about him, like just a stillness. You know how like sometimes the loud ones, you don't have to worry, like you're like, they act like they have so much under control, but it's like the quiet ones that you have to watch out for because they sort of know who they are and they attack life with that ferocity. And I sort of was getting that vibe of like, he's ready for this. He's ready for the challenges. And that's the same vibe that I'm getting watching him now as he enters his first finals. And Bam Adebayo, to me, I think he's obviously a candidate for most improved, but he will have his hands full because he's going to have to defend and anchor the paint. He's going to have to go up against Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, LeBron James, all in the paint. That's where they want to make their money. But we've seen him improve. Like last game, 32 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. So on one end, Bam is going to have to defend. But on the other end, I think we started seeing in real time this guy is truly a most improved candidate. He can facilitate. He does a lot of the little things that get no love, like tackles, right? Like that no one accounts for. He does a lot of great things that like screening. Like when you talk about this, this team, the Lakers, the big question about them is, can they make shots? And this is one of the things that Miami has really pushed their opponents on. Before we guard you out there, I'm going to need you guys to prove that you can make shots. And that's pretty much masks the ability for Bam to hold down the paint at 6'9". So there's so many different things at play, but Bam Adebayo, if he continues to improve as this goes on, that's going to be a huge chance for the Heat to be successful because they will need his top tier games when going up against LeBron, AD, and company. There's so many different aspects and avenues to this finals, but watching Bam Adebayo and how confident he plays, that will largely free up the shooters by his screens, largely free up the paint for himself in the pick and roll. There's so many things where this is why Jimmy Butler considers him the heart and soul of the team. They play through him even though people may not see it.
Let's see if that confidence holds true. Here is Bam Adebayo when asked about this matchup with the Los Angeles Lakers.
We're underdogs, man. Nobody thought we could get this far, but we're going to go out, play hard. We're underdogs, like I always say. So we're just going to go out there, play hard, and we toss the ball up and then see who wins.
This is an entire pack of Lays here in this one, Shanae, because everybody on this team has a chip on their shoulder. 20-year-old Tyler Hero in this situation, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler leading the charge on this. Hell, like, you could throw their coach, Eric Spoelstra, in this situation,
yep,
who, despite having a championship resume, despite bringing teams like this to the playoffs year after year, does not seem to get the critical acclaim that a lot of his peers do in this situation. But you mentioned the Lakers shooters in on this. One way we've seen the Miami Heat challenge a lot of teams this postseason is that zone. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's legal for them to run, and it makes life a living hell for these other teams. So if you're the Lakers, what are the Lakers going to have to do, and how built are they to be able to counteract that? Because we know we're going to see it.
They will need to hit shots. And that's why we always say, like, you put in, you know, into the game your zone buster, your three-point shooter, because what zones do is, and this is why I say it's, like, centered on Bam Adebayo, what zones do is you're packing the paint defensively. You're daring them pretty much to shoot. You're playing lanes, not people, so the people can move around and get open shots. The Lakers will need to hit shots. I looked it up this morning. The Lakers and the Heat have played the same amount of games so far in this postseason. They both played 15 games. Now, the Heat have made almost 30 more threes than the Lakers in these games. They're hoping that the Lakers will miss the threes by playing the zone, that they can gather the rebounds, and their players like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Jay Crowder, and in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler, all those guys will make their threes. That is their game plan. That is their bet. The Lakers will have to shoot their way out of the zone, because otherwise, that gamble has literally got the Heat to the NBA Finals.
It's really been insane to watch, and we hear it so much. Shout out to Bomani Jones, who on our network, The Right Time, wherever you get your podcast, has been a Zone is for Cowards champion for years. And Chiney, I generally tend to agree with this, and I'm sure as someone who's a baller out there, you get to the pro level, it's like in the NFL. Teams tend to make their living strapping guys up. It's man-to-man, and you go out there and you show you're better than your opponent in these situations. But for the Miami Heat, they don't have time for that kind of pride, and there's part of me that looks at it and goes, come on, be real with this. And there's part of me that looks at it and says, all right, this team is so committed to doing whatever it takes. They've gotten this far, completely surpassing what the level of talent on this team should be able to accomplish. And so, you know, no one asks you why when you're hoisting the trophy. And I'm sure that's the exact thought process.
Oh, absolutely. Like, usually when it's like, it's gimmicky when it's like for a game or for a quarter, just to try to steal some points. But when it's an entire playoff series and these teams they're going up against are exposing themselves, then you look smart. And that's what Eric Spoelstra has done.
He has done that. And it's also not why the Heat are winning these games, right? Like, you don't beat that Celtics team in five games just because it's zone defense. These are pros, and they're going to figure that out eventually. It's all the other things that have come along with this. And I know we've said Jimmy Butler might be the most vindicated man in all of the NBA, but sitting where he is right now, again, he's so dangerous because he's already won. This Miami Heat team has already won. All of the pressure is so firmly on the Lakers at this point, they can walk in here playing as free and easy as any team in sports.
So that reminds me of what we put in our little text group chat. Uncle Snoop was getting credit for something that you really started.
Thank you. Why don't you let people know what they're trying to pass off on? This is, and you know what? It's your own people sometimes. Like, ESPN was out here propagating this stuff.
Yes, exactly. It'd be your own friends. So Snoop Dogg apparently was the one person that was out there saying Lakers in five. Even though you've been saying that the entire bubble playoffs. I sort of like try to DM him because he's a huge Sparks fan and be like, yo, my bro said this too. But he hasn't probably seen that yet. But, you know, it begs the question, are you on that same energy, Lakers in five?
We will have the official prediction for this series by the end of the show. I've been marinating with this one and sitting with this one for a couple of days because, again, the turnaround is quick here, so we've got to do some analysis on the fly. So I promise I will have that ready okay. for you by the end of the show
Hot
today.
And ready.
Hot and ready, like some of my favorite pizza on this one. By the way, we're talking about the keys to victory for the NBA Finals. We want to hear from you at Chiney321, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. What do you think the key to the NBA Finals is going to be? Give me a player. Give me a storyline that you're watching going into this one. Again, at Mike Golic Jr., at Chiney321. Chiney and Golic Jr. reminding you to tune into Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines wherever you get your podcasts. But coming up next, one coach said that his team needed a gut check. We'll tell you who that coach was and where that dose of Pepto is coming from. That's next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hey, Mike, it's your friends Dane and Hillary Crist here, wishing you a very happy birthday. We're bummed that we can't celebrate with you in person, of course, but we wanted to just tell you how much we love you and just how proud of you we are. We're so excited about the new show and hope that you enjoy your special day, and most importantly, that it is filled with endless amounts of ice cream.
And please have an extra glass of a full-bodied Cabernet for me as we await the arrival of your new nephew in November. We love you. Happy birthday.
Mike. Happy birthday.
That was the first one that almost got me to cry because I haven't seen them in a long time. That's my West Coast family out there. Dane Crist, former Notre Dame quarterback, one of my roommates in college. His wife, Hillary, who is pregnant. She's due in the next month here, early November. So excited to add another nephew. I think I've got like 12 at this point. So
yeah,
Uncle Mike has been busy. You guys, that one is above and beyond. That's really cool. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chinay Ogwumike and a very humbled Mike Golic Jr. right now sitting here after that one. That one, you almost got me on that one. I know we got you when we had Lisa Leslie on. We got you with your sister on there. That was as close as you're going to get with me.
That was it. I was like trying to decide. I was like, do we want tears or do we want him to pass out? And I was like, a little bit of both. A nice balance.
Well, we do have a nice balance because speaking of passing out, again, my 31st birthday, Chinay has gone above and beyond in ways no one else ever could and has basically catered for our entire department. And I finally went out there and chef curried some tacos in the middle of that last segment here because I'm nice like this. I'll hold it up for a little bit of camera because this is art. What yes. I've done is art. That was in 4 minutes of a break. Chipotle, holler at me. I'm ready now to work.
You know what's going to be more impressive? While we're having this conversation, he's probably going to eat one or two. So,
oh, no doubt. Listen, it's all a magician never reveals his secrets. It's all about the sleight of hand here. I'm going to play a lot of sound on this one. But speaking of that, it is time for some sound because we have a big matchup tonight. We're all jacked up for Monday Night Football. We're looking forward to this. But we had a big one in Sunday Night Football that we got to break down because one team got a serious gut check. We will hear that in a little bit of coach speak.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it. You know, we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach speak with Chinay and Golic Jr.
It is Coach Speak, and that's brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And, Chinay, we know the Saints have been hurting on this one. Michael Thomas, who's another guy very near and dear to your fantasy team, has been down and out with injury for a while. So this team's been struggling a little bit right now, and we expected them. I mean, they were the NFC pick for one person on this show, as the fingers point at me, to represent them in the Super Bowl. So some big worries early on for a veteran squad.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been focusing and narrowing in on Drew Brees, but it's not just him. I think, you know, what you've seen here is clearly without Michael Thomas, that hurts. That's an adjustment. But also, they have so many penalties. The Saints' penalties have cost, you know, the team 331 yards, which leads the league. So it's like they're hurting themselves in their process of trying to win. But, like, I just see the Saints. I mean, they're sort of accustomed to slow starts, but it's one thing to have a slow start and then also have your star reacclimate themselves later on, which makes this task even harder.
It does make that task even harder until you look at one specific thing. I want to hear that after we hear from their head coach, Sean Payton, who after the game was asked about finding themselves in a 1-2 hole right now.
You know, we're 1-2 right now. Been a while since we've felt that, and yet 3 years ago we were 0-2. So, you know, a little bit of a gut check, and yet we're not playing well enough. You know, let's not fool ourselves. We're making too many mistakes, and we're not playing disciplined enough on both sides of the ball. And that's really just the truth.
That is the truth. And Chinay, I will say this, while they haven't been playing discipline, I was encouraged because we talked about Drew Brees' arm is not in the same place it once was. They got a couple of ugly turnovers, one courtesy of the Taysom Hill package.
I wanted you to go off about that package.
Listen, I'm not against that package. But we all know the way Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill in that package is the way the rest of us on the internet look at that situation and go, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback on your team. How are you taking him off the field this much? It's one thing to make it an every once in a while thing. It's another to do it like this consistently. And so, Chinay, I look at this and say, I understand and am concerned, but I think Michael Thomas is going to have time because the one thing that works in their favor in all this is the schedule. You look at what's coming up for the New Orleans Saints at the Detroit Lions, who just got a win, but we know are the Detroit Lions. home versus the Chargers, then the Panthers, then at the Bears who just made a quarterback change, at the Buccaneers, and then back home versus a 49ers team that's been one of the most banged up in football. So they've got a hell of a runway here before they get to the Kansas City Chiefs all the way down in December before you've really got a bona fide powerhouse on their schedule.
You know why this makes me feel good? Before I was, you know, I was about to yesterday start making fun of the Falcons, right? And then I remembered my Texans are 0-3 too. So yes, there is still time, especially for teams that have had really competitive schedules early on. But you know, I want to sort of flip the script. What say you about the Packers? Because they've looked good even though Devontae Adams has been out.
The Packers have impressed a lot of people. And I saw yesterday, Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit. That was one of the heaviest play-action performances we've ever seen. I think they were damn near up over 50% of their passes were play-action passes, designed kind of like we've expected from the Kyle Shanahan run games, kind of like what we see from Sean McVay and the Rams. I understand giving him credit, especially because Alan Lazard was your leading receiver on this one. When we're giving the coach credit for some of the mutant throws that Aaron Rodgers is still capable of making and did make yesterday, it just feels a little silly, Janae. So the Packers, absolutely bona fide studs, tops in that division, no doubt. I did not give them enough credit during the preseason. I am giving it to them now because they are locked, loaded, and certified. That was coach speak here on ESPN Radio. But speaking of coaches, we have breaking news out of the NBA right now, and it appears that we have breaking news, Doc Rivers and the Clippers. No longer an item. Doc Rivers out as the head coach of the Clippers. I'm assuming that's according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Yes, according to our ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. So, Chiney, I see the look of shock on your face here. How surprised are you? A very disappointing season for this team relative to what we expected. Now, Doc Rivers no longer the head coach.
It's crazy how the script flips so quickly. Like, you know, going into this playoffs, I think a lot of people, even though we have our hearts with LeBron James at the age of 35, they were like, the Clippers are the favorites. You were shocked that Kawhi Leonard, 29 years old, right? Like, still doing what he's doing. They have Paul George. They have the best bench in production, you know, with Montrezl Harrell and Lou Will. They have the guys to win a championship. But one thing I've always told people, I know a lot of people saw they couldn't close things out while being 3-1. How many times in Doc Rivers' career was it? 4 times where he's been up in a playoff series, up 3-1 and still not been able to get over the hump. I just think that the first year when you have a new team, and I know this myself, it's hard. It's hard to win. Even when you have everyone healthy and available, even into the final, you know, weeks in the bubble, Montrez was out of the bubble for a little bit. Lou Will was out of the bubble. It's not like they sort of materialized an entire season where everybody, this is a team that had 33 different starting lineups in the season, the most in the NBA. So I understand that it stinks, you know, that you can't win when you're the favorites, but it's also not easy to win when you're playing and putting a lot of pieces together for a team, you know, in the first year. So I am shocked. This is new to me.
I was going to say, it's jarring news right now. And again, Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, just tweeted, Coach Doc Rivers is out with the Clippers, sources tell ESPN. I have two questions that immediately come to mind. I want to ask you those next. It's Chiney Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiney Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Mike, happy 31st birthday to you. Chip wanted to remind you that this year is your 13th anniversary since your visit to St. Joseph's County Jail as a freshman at Notre Dame. Congrats on the new show. We hope this year is great for you. And Chip has a special message for Uncle Mike.
We love you, Mike. Hey, Chip, it's Uncle Mike's birthday. Woo-hoo! It's Uncle Mike's birthday. It's Uncle Mike.
Oh, come on! Sort of weird that Pony was playing for my brother and sister-in-law. I'm not going to lie. That's a strange choice by you sick guys. Chiney Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So for anyone that wasn't watching on ESPN News for that one, that was my brother Jake and his wife Jenny and their lab Chip, who's just over a year old now, wearing around his neck a picture of my mugshot from my freshman year of college, minor in talks, big ups, and... In that scenario, what you heard at the end was Chip loves me so much, that dog, that anytime they say, Uncle Mike, like on a phone call, anything, he loses his mind, immediately starts looking out the windows and barking, expecting my arrival. So if I can find anyone in my life outside of that dog and apparently Chennai after everything that's happened today that loves me that much, I will be in good shape.
I will never bark out the window when you come. I might be like, hey, what's good? But I will bark.
There we go. You know what? I wouldn't expect that, but for Chip, it certainly plays. So thanks to Jake and Jenny. Love you guys, and certainly love my sweet nephew, Chip. So excited about them. It is Chennai and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. June Lee going to be with us in about 10 minutes. Help us get ready for Major League Baseball's postseason. A lot of that coverage you're going to see around here and hear around here on ESPN and ESPN Radio that we're excited about. But Chennai, we got breaking news during the last segment, courtesy of our own Adrian Wojnarowski. Sources telling ESPN that Doc Rivers out as the head coach of the Clippers. And I want to read you this before I ask you a couple of questions. This is the statement from Doc Rivers. He put this out on his Twitter account just about a minute ago. Thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and for all your support in helping make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goals were to make this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and to bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I wasn't able to see them all through. Though it is disappointing to ending to our season, you are right there, and I know what this team is capable of accomplishing with your support. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff for helping us get here. Most importantly, thank you to the fans. We went through a lot, and I am grateful for my time here. So, Chennai, you hear that, and again, you were stunned in the break, this news coming down now about Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I think that this shocked me just because they had 1 year together to try to figure it all out, and I feel like, for me, the pressure was not necessarily on this year, just because if you look at their deals, I think Paul George becomes a free agent after next season or so. Kawhi Leonard has another one or two. And so they had a little wiggle room to try to figure this out, in the sense that I guess that just shows you how truly disappointed they were in their performance, especially down the stretch, losing to Denver, a team that was surging, but clearly, like, Kawhi, you know, he ran out of gas at the end, and Paul George had some inconsistencies, and there was, like, you know, situations with Montrez and Lou not being there in the bubble. So I guess the vision and the, you know, you couple that with what you're seeing and hearing from the Heat, maybe that's sort of like, we need to have that same standard for each and every one of our players, knowing that these players were also dealing with their own personal situations that they needed to. So, like, I think the big thing here is just, I'm shocked that, you know, after one time with these top two players, it's not easy to bring those two players together, no matter how good they are, and succeed. Look what happened with LeBron James when he went to Miami. It's not easy this day and age, but maybe the expectation was that. And, you know, the interesting other part is that Kawhi, when he came to Los Angeles, he said, I came largely because I want to be coached by Doc Rivers. So to me, there's something here where something's pretty much not adding up.
Chennai Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chennai Ogwumike. Again, the breaking news, Doc Rivers out as head coach of the Clippers, courtesy of our own Adrian Wojnarowski. Chennai, this is where it gets interesting, and this is what I want to ask you. Because as soon as I heard this, I thought about exactly what you just said. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both can become unrestricted free agents in 2022. This was always a short-term plan with them. We remember Kawhi did not sign a long-term extension with the Clippers, and so we knew they were always on the clock. And so I ask you, knowing how orchestrated this was on the way in from Kawhi Leonard, how much influence do we believe that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I'm sure, is part of it, but we know Kawhi is the big name on this team, had in this decision and this idea that Doc Clippers wouldn't be retained?
Yeah, I think that when you look at this being a short sprint, it's sort of like what we saw and felt happening in the bubble didn't feel like that. And you even heard that from Paul George. He said, look, we're going to try to regroup and run it back next year. It felt like they had more time. But I guess that's not the expectation that overall everyone wants. They want to set a foundation where every year it's championship or bust based on the talent that they have. Because if you look at the course of the 82-game season, with the exception of right before, you know, the break, the Clippers ran the table on most teams. You know, the Bucks did it in the East, but the Clippers, they looked like the dominant team that had the Lakers number at times, that could beat the Bucks. Like, they looked like the favorites. And I guess that's where there was something, you know, not the same, you know, articulated, whether it was on the court, like, we need you out there giving your all. We don't have time. This is not a 1-2-3 year thing. This is a now thing, versus what the reality is of the situation, where it takes time for players to gel. But I think overall, they had enough talent to compete for a championship. The Clippers did. They absolutely did. If the standard is championship, it makes sense. But also, the hard thing is the reality is that these players, it's not so easy to bring one and one together and expect them to produce a championship. It took a while for LeBron James in Miami. It takes a while. You know, it took a while for the Warriors to develop into what they needed to be. Now, yeah, I mean, that's it.
I guess, Chiney, I'm surprised when you say that, though, because LeBron and them didn't punt on Spo in this process. Like, LeBron's been a part of coaching changes during his regime, so probably an ill-fit comparison for a lot of these situations. But I look at this and say, so often in the NBA, it is very easy to blame and oust coaching in a situation if you're looking for something. But you've got one of the very few bona fide, consistent products at coach in that situation. And while I was as critical as anyone, and you just mentioned it, the Clippers, talent and depth, they were lauded for depth going into the postseason. 2 6-man of the year candidates consistently, perennially sitting on their roster. And yet I still look at, all right, all the things that ultimately undid the Clippers during this process seem to be so driven by the circumstances in the pandemic. As we mentioned, guys having a difficulty coming in, sort of the anti-Toronto Raptors who got down there were all together were the Clippers. And so you figure if anyone would have benefited from getting through another year and bringing everyone back consistently, it would have been them. And while I understand, ultimately, the NBA, as much as any league, is a player-driven league, and coaching matters only up until a certain point when you've got marquee talent out there, it feels like introducing a voice in this situation, especially it's not like Doc Rivers is a guy who's causing some sort of discord behind the scenes. He's generally someone that's been well-liked and well-supported by players along the way. I'm a bit stunned by this.
Yeah, totally stunned. But I guess what we are seeing now in the bubble, right? Teams that go by their coaches, right? And also teams that have players that are on the same page, star players that are on the same page as their coaches. You look at Miami, Coach Spo, and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, it seems like they're all the same person. They're an extension of their coach. You look at the Lakers, you have Frank Vogel doing his thing. You have LeBron James being another coach. Like, they're all working together. When you look at the Clippers, it sort of seems like it's not necessarily the same case, I guess, in the sense that, you know, you want someone that can stand right next to Kawhi and get the most out of him, stand next to Paul George and get the most out of him. And it seems like they struggled in that regard. Kawhi has been fantastic until he ran out of gas. Paul George, he was one of the most formidable people, you know, defensively and offensively. And then he comes on the team and he sort of struggled in the bubble. You know, these are the realities. Lou Will played under his expectations, especially late in the bubble. Montrezl Harrell was still trying to find his game. Again, those guys had their own personal things to deal with. But still, if you look at the top tier coaches that are still at least remaining, it's guys that have players that they're extensions of. And I guess maybe the Clippers are starting to see, I need to find someone that will bring us that same emotion or at least value for our team.
And I want to find out who that coach is for the Clippers. But more importantly, where Doc Rivers slides in all this, because we know the Houston Rockets, your very own, have a very notable coaching vacancy going on right now, and this seems like a name perfect for the situation there. We'll get more on that situation as well at the top of the hour. Om Young Masuk going to join us, ESPN reporter in L.A., obviously covers the Lakers and the Clippers very well, going to join us at the top of the hour. But coming up next, we do have, in the middle of all this breaking news, Major League Baseball's postseason to get ready for. Our own writer, June Lee, is going to join us next, help get you everything you need to know heading into this run. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy birthday! That was weird. Anyway, happy birthday, Mike. I hope it's the best day ever. You deserve everything in the world for your birthday, whatever you want. I hope you get all of it. And I hope you eat a lot of cake. And I hope you do a lot of dancing. Because I think when you dance, you are your truest self. And you're so talented. So you're talented in a lot of things. But anyway, happy birthday. Sending you so much birthday love. And I hope it's the best day ever.
NFL Live's very own Laura Rutledge there with the kind words and greatly appreciated. It is Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. I hope she knows that when she says dance, it really turns into twerking on here, and I hope she knows what she put everyone
Don't
else
let
through.
Her know that, because we're going to bring her in one time at 6:15, and she'll just have to find out for herself.
That is true. We are looking forward to getting Laura Rutledge in here for our Friday fiasco or fiesta. I'm not sure which it is at this point.
All of the above.
A combination of both. Nothing about a fiasco, all fiesta, when it comes to our next guest, because we're looking forward to this. While we had a lot going on in the NFL and the NBA over the weekend, we know some other big things happen. And so, Cliff, we got a new feature we'd like to do here each and every Monday.
Since football takes up so much of our attention on Mondays.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
We need to take a moment to see what we missed. This is the Sunday News Dump.
And listen, normally this would be reserved for some small headlines, things that we have, but this weekend, oh, by the way, while you were sitting around, Major League Baseball's postseason got all set. The series are ready to go and ready to take off this week. Plenty of coverage going to be coming up on ESPN Radio, ESPN all throughout this, and one of the great voices leading the way on that is going to be our own ESPN writer, covers baseball for us, covers a lot of different things around here. June Lee with us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. June, we appreciate the time, man. How you doing?
Hey, June.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on, and happy birthday, Golic, you and your big day.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yes, I say I got mistaken for 28 by Mina Kimes, so apparently she feels like you and I are more peers right now than we might be actually age-wise. But, June, as we look forward towards Major League Baseball's postseason starting up this week, it seems like right now you can make an argument it's Dodgers or the field at this point. So if I'm giving you that option going into the bubble postseason, what are you taking?
I'm actually taking the field. I have the Tampa Bay Rays as my personal World Series winner. I think they're best shaped up to kind of take advantage of this postseason. I think we're going to see over the course of, you know, we have an expanded playoff field this year, obviously, in Major League Baseball. And I think we're going to see within this wild card series, which is best of three, we're going to see a 1-3 seed potentially lose a series here and really shake up the field. And so I think a team like the Rays, best team coming out of the American League, I think they have a bullpen that's really, really deep. There's not going to be kind of the length of rest days that you typically get out of a postseason this year. So I think it's going to be really important for a team to have a deep bullpen. And for me, I think the Rays are kind of best shaped up to take advantage of kind of the entire format. They're a team that's obviously analytically driven. They have a really good starting rotation with Charlie Morton, Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell. There's a lot of things going for this team. And so as good as the Dodgers have been this entire season, they have won the regular season crown in the past and kind of floundered the playoffs. So for me, I think every single year, lots of people kind of go with the Dodgers and are disappointed when something happens in the postseason. For me, I'm just going to go with the Rays and stick with my gut there.
Speaking of top-tier teams, the Yankees, they're one of the more expensive teams in baseball, but they just sit a couple notches above average. What can we expect from them this postseason?
They're in a really tough position where they have to win a three-game series against the Cleveland Indians, and the Cleveland Indians have Shane Bieber, who's been undisputably, I think, the American League Cy Young Award winner for this season. The Yankees have been so up and down this year, and so it makes it kind of hard to kind of predict what's going to happen over the course of a three-game series because, even over the course of a regular baseball season where there's 162 games, you regularly get last-place teams beating second- or first-place teams, winning two out of three in a series. And so I think this wild card kind of wrench and kind of expanding the field is going to be a challenge for the Yankees because they really need to come out of the gates hot or else they're going to have their season cut short really, really abruptly. And obviously they had so high expectations coming in this year, having signed Gerrit Cole. There's so much going on with that lineup where you've had, Judge and Stanton out with injuries this year. You've had Gleyber Torres and Gerrit Sanchez struggle at the plate. The Yankees are going to have everything kind of hit right. All cylinders go from the first game in order to get out of this first round because the Indians are really, really, really good.
Talking to June Lee, the Indians are really, really, really good is the exact analysis we need around here. Somewhere, my father, the Cleveland native, is smiling. He joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line here on Chennai and Golic Jr. June, we got about a minute left here, but I'm curious. We saw and heard so much about and from Fernando Tatis during this season. The Padres were one of the great stories during what was a chaotic year. How prime are they for a run, and how prime are we to see more kind of career-defining moments for Fernando Tatis right now?
I think that this is a really exciting moment for the San Diego Padres. I think that they have a really good shot of getting to the World Series. They had a couple of injuries this week with Mike Clevenger and another one of their starting pitchers going down early in the week that I think is going to, obviously hamper their chances. But Trevor Rosenthal in the back of that bullpen, Drew Pomeranz is a really good reliever. And then you have, obviously, Fernando Tatis has been one of the most exciting players in the sport is really, you know, between the unwritten rules and the bat flips and the hair and the style and everything on the field. And then you also have Manny Machado in the middle of that lineup, Tommy Pham in the middle of that lineup, who's one of the more underrated players in the sport, I think. I think the Padres, you know, whether it's this year or as we move forward, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in multiple postseasons to come. And so I'm just excited to see that these guys are going to take this national platform, this national stage, and we're going to have an opportunity to watch Fernando Tatis play in a playoff game, which is just, like, for me as a baseball nerd, is just like exciting within itself.
And I think for a guy who announced his presence with such authority, as you mentioned, went up against baseball's unwritten rules, much to the support of all of us watching, I think we all share in that excitement. So, June, we appreciate it, man. We're looking forward to this week, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. All right, buddy?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
June Lee, our ESPN writer, reminder, MLB on ESPN Radio, the Wild Card Series broadcasts are going to start tomorrow at 1:45 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And coming up next, we will get back to more NBA reaction next.